Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
For our first scripture reading, it comes from the Psalms. Hear these words of praise and petition from Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord or declare all his praise? Happy are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember us, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help us when you deliver them, that we may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that we may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that we may glory in your heritage. And our second reading comes from Philippians. It's Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we hear, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women. For they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you.
Will you pray with me? God of inspiration, break into the wilderness of our lives the uncertainty, the confusion, the distractions from your word with a moment of clarity, of grace and understanding that encourages us and molds us through your word and by your spirit in Christ's image. Amen. Don't be anxious about anything. Sounds simple enough, right? But we know in reality this is one of the most difficult biblical instructions to follow. Don't be anxious about anything. Really, Paul? Do you not get all I have to worry about? Have you seen the news this week? Don't be anxious about anything. But Paul, I'm a master at doom scrolling. I waste time. I scroll through my social media feeds filled with doom and gloom about war, next year's election, systemic racism, white supremacy, climate change, you name it. I read the newspaper. I listen to NPR. I try to be an informed citizen. How can I pay attention and not be worried? Don't be anxious about anything. But Paul, have you seen the statistics? I'm not alone in my worrying. We're in the middle of this huge mental health crisis. More than half the country report about having trouble and problems with their mental health. Mental health hotlines report a 1,000% increase in the number of calls over the last 4 years. Mental health professionals report 65% jump in the number of clients seeking appointments. I worry about my own mental health and how to cope with all my anxieties about everything. Don't be anxious about anything. You know, I think Paul actually did know what he was talking about here. After all, he sure had a lot to worry about when he was writing this letter to the Philippians. Paul was writing in literal chains. He was sitting on death row in a Roman prison. His crime? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. His body had been beaten. He had been stoned almost to the point of death. Endured shipwrecks and angry mobs. And now he was scheduled to be executed. So yeah, Paul knew what he was talking about. He knew his friends back in Philippi were facing persecution and rejection because of their faith. He was also, I think, smart enough not to peddle an empty hope or a Pollyanna type of faith to people who were too wise to swallow that and too tired and weary to waste time listening to fairy tales. Instead, from his dire situation, Paul writes to the people facing their own dire situation and says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The powerful thing about his words is they don't match his situation at all. They don't match his reader's reality. They don't match our reality. But Paul was writing about a peace that exists in the midst of all the realities of life. A sense of peace that's not based on logic, but on relationship. Not based on the environment around you, but on the friend beside you. A peace that surpasses all understanding and is guarding your hearts and minds in Jesus. Now I know this is hard stuff. I know. I struggle with it daily myself. We tend to put our trust in places that are not safe. We try to be happy in all sorts of ways. We reach for our phones for that dopamine hit. We try to make ourselves feel right in all sorts of things that won't last. By putting our trust in temporal things, we'll always be disappointed. When we build our peace on the sands of this world, we should not be surprised when the storms wash it all away. Don't be anxious about anything, Paul says. And many of us hear these words and our anxiety levels rise even more because we already worry too much. It just makes us worried about being worried. You ever done that, worried about how much you're worrying? But this isn't some psychological trick by Paul. He's not telling us just to think happy thoughts. Paul has seen up close and in person the pains of this world. He's just as overwhelmed as we are by the evil that grips God's creation. Paul just believes in another story. Paul says that God's peace surpasses all understanding. And he also says this doesn't make any sense. That's okay. It's not something we think our way into. It's not something we arrive at through logic and reason. It's just something we trust in. And when we have that peace, God will guard our hearts. Now, the word he uses here in the Greek is a military word, a word for a sentry watchman. Paul is saying that the God of the universe will stand watch over your heart and protect it from whatever the world will throw at you. Now, I wish that Paul had reversed the order of this verse and written it like this instead. In everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and you will receive the gift of not worrying about anything. And with all due respect to Paul, maybe he could have gone on to explain things a little more fully. Maybe he could have written something like this: the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus right now. Whether you feel this at an emotional level or not, this is the truth. So get in the habit of constant prayer, and you will come more and more into contact with this gift of peace. Do not beat yourself up that you have anxious thoughts. This is our common human tendency. Do not suppose, like the Stoics, that you can banish anxiety through self-mastery and be indifferent to the ups and downs of life. Only the peace of God in Jesus Christ can master your anxieties. Imagine if he had written that. But now, before I go on, I have to say this. Sometimes we need more help. Sometimes we need to speak with a mental health professional. And that's okay. When we do that, it's not a weakness, it's a strength. God calls some folks to be specialists in mental health, and God works through them to heal us. Now, I've been a visiting therapist for many, many years, and there's nothing wrong with that. And still, a lot of times it is the peace of Christ that calms me. Years ago, when I was a chaplain at a major hospital, there was a man in the ICU who had just had surgery, and he was facing a deadly post-surgical infection. Later, once the infection had cleared, he reported about one of the most lonely nights he faced in the ICU while fighting that infection. He lay awake fearing that his life was coming to an end, and reflecting on what it had been and had not been, reflecting on all the things that had gotten in the way he gotten any way that he on all the things he had gotten in any way that he could, and all the things that he had lost, all the things that he had taken from others, all the pain he had suffered, all the pain he had caused. He said that he lay there asking himself what was the one thing that he searched for and never could find in life. The answer, he said, was easy. The one thing I had never been able to find was peace. He went on to say that the next morning, one of my colleagues visited his room. And as she was making the rounds from patient to patient, checking in on folks, she comes to him. And before she left his room, after their conversation, she offered to read a scripture passage and pray. She proceeded to quote John 14 and the words of Jesus: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you." The man said, "These words struck me like a hammer. That chaplain didn't know me. She didn't know my story. She didn't know what I had wrestled with all night long. But there was no way her visit could have been a mere coincidence. Without even knowing it, she showed me how to find what I needed, and I couldn't find all my life. I suddenly got it that If I could find Jesus, if I could get to know him, I would find peace. And that turned out to be the case for me. He shared that with our group of chaplains in a letter after he had gotten out of the hospital, because it made such a difference to him. Now, you may think that this all seems too easy. It's too personal. It doesn't address the calamities affecting the world as a whole. But maybe for us Christians, the path to global peace begins with us, begins with the individual. Maybe it begins when you choose to embrace the peace that Jesus gives you and lean into it. Maybe when we focus on the self-peace that comes from Jesus, you'll see how little by little your worldview evolves and becomes more peaceful. And you're able to see how we can make a bigger difference in the world. Our peace quote today comes from author, civil rights activist, and practitioner of the Sikh faith, Valerie Kaur. And in her book, See No Stranger, she advocates that the path to peace must begin with us, and especially with us being open to wonder. She writes, "Wonder is the wellspring of love. To wonder is to let in a sense of awe, of openness, of deep curiosity. It's to look upon the face of anyone or anything and say, you are a part of me I do not know yet. It's an orientation to humility, wondering about another person, their thoughts, their experiences, pains and joys, needs and wants. It gives us information for how to love them. It's how we learn to love our partners, our children, our friends. When we wonder about people we would otherwise see as strangers, as the other, and even let them inside our circle of care, then wonder becomes a revolutionary act." There's so much good stuff in that book. I encourage you to pick it up. See No Stranger by Valerie Kaur. So friends, embracing peace and letting go of our worry is not a matter of ignoring what is wrong. It's a confidence in knowing what is right. It's dropping our anchor in the good news of Jesus Christ rather than waiting for the news of the world to calm us down. Ridding your life of worry is not a matter of reducing stress, but increasing trust. It's hard stuff, I know. Yep, we can do hard things, right? Let's give it a try. Amen.